I believe that's one of the greatest hymns ever written, How Great Thou Art. What a song. Thank you, Paul, Michelle. That was beautiful. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 13. And I know we don't often preach from this book. It's on page 318 in your Bibles if you're looking for it. Deuteronomy chapter 13. I believe it's of great pertinence what I believe the Lord has given us today, and I want to attempt to do it justice. Deuteronomy chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? The word Deuteronomy in Hebrew means second law. Second law. In essence, what God was doing throughout the entire book of Deuteronomy was reiterating and expanding on the original law he had given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Of course, the Ten Commandments and all the Levitical law that went along with that. And these particular verses we're going to read today really, in the sum total of what they're saying, it's about how God tests our love for Him. I want you to think about that for just a moment before we read these. What we're about to read is how God tests our love for Him. And to expound that thought just a little bit, it's how God proves our love for Him. How He tests our faithfulness to Him. And it's very simple what we're going to read, but I want you to read it with that mindset. Deuteronomy chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. And I want you to pay real close attention to these next few verses. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as is thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou, not thou, nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are around you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to be put to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones, that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of proving our love. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the presence of your Holy Spirit, and I just ask, Lord, that you'll enable me and empower me to preach this, which I believe you've given to me, in exactly the way you want it done. Lord, in and of myself, I can do nothing. But with the enabling and the anointing of your precious Holy Spirit, much good will be achieved for your kingdom and in the lives of your people. And that is what I want to see happen today, Lord. I want to preach your word in such a way that it will bring enrichment and it will bring enlightenment to your people and it will be a blessing to them. And Lord, only you can do that through us, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The song that Brother Paul sang this morning, I did not know that he would be ministering that song, nor the ones that Sister Michelle led the praise and worship team in. It amazes me how the Holy Spirit orchestrates a service. But when you think about God's love for us, how great it is. We sang the song this morning, how great thou art. How great is his love for us. God, I believe, would have sent Jesus down to earth to die on the cross if there had only been one person here to save. I believe that's how much God loves humanity. And that love of God, which is incomparable to anything else in the universe, was expressed completely and in totality on the day that Jesus Christ went to the cross. The most quoted scripture of all, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." What a picture of the love of God toward this lost and sinful creation that had fallen out of fellowship with him due to sin. That God would come after the fallen sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. That touches me because you read about other deities and other gods. You don't read where they came after anybody. They want people to just give them allegiance because of their statements. Not ever having done nothing for those that they're demanding and requiring the allegiance from. But God sent his only Son to redeem this fallen race. He came after us. I want you to think of that for a moment. How much he loves you and me. We sing that old song, "Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you and me." God loves us with a love I know that our minds, I don't believe, can fully comprehend. And he expressed that love by coming after us when we were in a sin-bound and sin-benighted condition, not deserving his love. Nobody made him come after us. He came after us and sent Jesus Christ to this earth because he loves us. And that love was expressed completely when Jesus Christ bore the penalty for our sins and our infirmities by taking what should have been our cross up Calvary's hill. And by faith in his sacrificial work on that cross, you and I can now be restored unto full fellowship with God, just like in the Garden of Eden. A perfect, unbroken fellowship with God. That's love. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he continues to love us. 1 Peter says, "What manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us." Of all the things we think we need in this life, sometimes we forget. I know I'm guilty of it. Our greatest asset is that the knowledge that God Almighty, who spoke this universe into being, loves you and I and knows the number of hairs on our head. And he loves us with an unconditional love. That even when we fail him, his love does not quit. Even when we sin, his love does not quit. His grace is greater than any sin you and I will ever commit. And that grace again is expressed through the sacrificial life of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. God could have left humanity in a sinful condition. He did not have to formulate and instigate the great plan of salvation through which Jesus Christ would give His life on the cross. He didn't have to do that, but He did it. Praise God, He did it. Because He loved us, and He knew there was no hope for us, that we were totally incapable and are totally incapable of saving ourselves and making ourselves right before Him. It can't be done. He knew we cannot change our lives. Sin has such a power to it. We don't realize the power of sin as human beings. We think we can play with it. We think we can handle it. And in the end, it leaves us in a state of destruction and chaos and heartbreak. But God, the Bible says, who is rich in mercy, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, glory to God, has redeemed us from the curse of the law through Christ and His sacrificial work on the cross. God loves you. God loves you this morning. He knows everything about you, and He still loves you. Praise God. Give Him a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Doesn't that bring joy to your heart to know that we serve the real God that does love us and care for us? And He has proven that love so in so many ways. But I wanted to bring out at the start of this message how He manifests that love, how He proved it. He came after us when we had no hope. I heard this week again of another pitiful attempt of human beings to try to extricate themselves from the clutches of sin. As alcoholics, I was watching a show, and there were about 12 to 15 of them in a room. And there sat a psychologist telling them that it was because their parents had done something to them. That's why they were the way they were. And I'm not trying to mitigate the fact that the cruel treatment as a child, of course, it's going to affect an individual. But again, there they sat, treating the problems, treating the symptoms of the disease rather than the disease itself. You see, drinking is not really the problem. You name me whatever sin you want to name, and I'll tell you that sin is not really the problem. That sin being manifested, whether it be drugs, alcohol, inordinate relationship, whatever it is, that is the symptom. That is the symptom. The problem is that every man, woman, boy, and girl coming into this world comes into it with a sin nature. I hate to put it so crudely, but I can't think of a better way to do it. We're born bad. We're born bad with a bent in our soul toward evil and toward godlessness. And we're born at enmity. In other words, an enemy with God. And God could have left us in that state. And God could have left us with no power and no hope to change that sinful condition. And my heart broke for those alcoholics sitting in that room. Because I thought, there's no help for them. They can't change our life. There's not the first human being here that can change their life. Through human power. Through human power. Listen to what I'm saying this morning. Through human power and human ability and human willpower, it is no match for your sin nature. The drugs are not your problem. The alcohol is not your problem. The lust and the pornography is not your problem. The problem is you're a sinner. And you have a sin nature. And only God can change that sin nature, because He loved us so much that He came after us, gave His Son Jesus Christ, and through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that allows the Holy Spirit of God to enter a human being. And when the Holy Spirit of God comes in, He's going to make some changes, because He is the power of God. He is the hope of the sinner. He is the hope of the human race. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's no... Go ahead, praise the Lord. There's no hope in anything else. Hear me this morning. I'm not preaching down to anybody, but I'm trying to get you to see how much God loves you. Do you know why God hates sin so? It's because He, of all people, has the total and complete knowledge of the horror and the chaos and the heartbreak that sin is going to bring to you. And He loves you. He does not want to see you hurt and denigrated and torn apart by sin. But God perfectly knows the evil nature of it. And He knows that we as humans are hopeless to change our lives. And so He sent Jesus because He loves us. I'm here to tell you this morning, I've got good news for you. Maybe I preached some conviction down on some today. That's not a bad thing. But I don't want to leave you in conviction. I want to tell you there's a way out, praise God. That sin nature can be changed. The Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All is made new. The very second any sinner puts their faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ turns to God the Father in the portals of glory and says, they are now my son and my daughter, and I present them to you via their faith in my shed blood as being totally righteous, totally holy, and having no sin at all. And I see them and present them to you, Father, as being perfect. That's love, my friend. Praise God. Jesus could change your life, and He's the only one who can, via the power of His Holy Spirit. What love. What love. And He proved that love by coming after us. But now let's get to the crux of what I believe the Holy Spirit wanted to present this morning. How is our love for Him measured? You see, you can't love God until you understand what He's done for you. How often have I heard it said, and possibly you have too, in witnessing to people, they'll say, well, what's God ever done for me? How often have you heard that? Quite a bit. Because if people don't know what God's done for them and they don't understand their sinful condition, really, we have nothing to love God for. I want that to sink in. If you don't understand that, you're probably asking yourself, why do I need God? That's what I want to remind us all of this morning, is that God and our sinful condition loved us enough to come after you and I. Think of that. Think of that for just a moment. How much He loves us that He came after us. Praise God. And that love is never going to change. He's still calling. He's calling some of you right now. I know it. I sense it with all of my being. He's calling you because He loves you. Not that He wants to be mean to you. He knows the horror that sin's going to cause in an individual's life. And He wants to set you free from it. He wants to deliver you. Jesus said that life was in Him. He said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We're the walking dead until we find Jesus Christ. No matter what position we may hold in this life, how much money we have, what we have or what we don't have materially, we are the walking dead, spiritually speaking, until we find Jesus Christ. But when you find Jesus, I'm here to tell you, found life. You found life all of a sudden. Praise God. He sends the Holy Spirit into us, and the Holy Spirit brings light to every area all of a sudden. All of a sudden you realize, and the Holy Spirit continually reminds us, we are the redeemed of the Lord. We are washed in the blood of Jesus. That we stand righteous and holy before Him, and that enmity that was, that enemy relationship that was between us and God is no more, and God counts and calls us His sons and His daughters. But how is our love for Him measured? We read about that here in Deuteronomy 1 through 10 today. The Word first tells us that if a dreamer or if a prophet arises among you and shows you some sign or wonder, we've got to stop right there for a minute and preach. The believer in Jesus Christ is never commanded to follow after signs and wonders. We follow Jesus Christ. Jesus will perform signs and wonders still. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the idea in this text is that if a prophet or a dreamer arises and shows you some wonder. See, there were people in those days in Israel, just like there are people in the modern church today, who all they were concerned about was showing how spiritual they were. All they were concerned about was showing their gift and their ability to prophesy. And some of these had come out of Egypt with Israel during the Exodus. And the Egyptians, if you study their history, they had very elaborately studied the planets and the alignment of the planets, and to a large degree, much like we do today, could predict when solar eclipses or lunar eclipses were going to take place. And what these false prophets would do to the people of Israel in an attempt to pull them away from Jehovah God would predict exactly the day and time a solar or lunar eclipse might be taking place. And then when it happened, everybody would go running to them thinking, this is a prophet of God. Let's follow whatever he says. Now think of that. Doesn't that sound just like what we see so much of in the church today? Some lunatic comes up with some kind of wild prophecy, and everybody goes following after him. Somebody comes out with a new book that's purported to be a new revelation, and everybody goes chasing after him. And we forget we are to follow Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone. In this last day, just prior to the return of Jesus Christ, listen carefully to me now. If you have a hunger more so for signs and wonders in your heart than you do following Jesus, you're going to be deceived. Because Jesus said in the last days in Matthew chapter 7 that many false prophets were going to arise and deceive many. How? Through lying signs and lying wonders. Just like these false prophets did in the day here in Deuteronomy. When God was reiterating to Israel the second time, here is what I'm demanding of you. Let's go on to verse 2. And the sign or wonder come to pass wherever he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Did you catch that? The Lord your God proveth you. Jesus said, we just quoted it, there's going to be many false prophets. But how does God prove your real love for him? Sometimes he will allow a false prophet to arise. And that false prophet, even when the Antichrist appears, he's going to be this way. That false prophet may appear to have all nine gifts of the Spirit working through him. There may even be, for a time, lying signs and wonders, such as lying healings of human bodies taking place. Now think of this. And God is allowing that to be so to prove our love for him. Let's expound that for just a minute. What's he doing really, in essence? He's saying, do you love me for me? Do you love me for who I am and what I've done for you alone? If I never do anything else for you, is that enough? And it was and is enough, my brothers and sisters, what Jesus did on the cross. But he's asking, he's proven that love to see, are you going to follow after what this strange bird is telling you, about what this false prophet is telling you, just because it appeals to you and provides you with something you want, even though he's leading you away from me, even though he's leading you, oh, let's put it in the modern vernacular, even though he's leading you away from the cross of Christ, and you know what he's preaching is not right, but you're still going to follow after him? I'm here to submit to you this morning. I believe there are multiplied millions that are deceived in this fashion in the church today. They're following after a church, they're following after a man because he showed some sign or wonder or claimed some great revelation. This is how the Mormon church was formulated. And I feel the preach coming on right now. This is how the very church we're renting was formulated. The Seventh-day Adventism, based upon the lies and false prophecies of a woman by the name of Ellen G. White. And God allows such to happen sometimes to test our love to see, are we going to remain true to his word? Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, this word In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Word of God declares that in the last days many are going to believe a lie and be damned. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus and the Word. This Word reveals Jesus, and Jesus fulfilled the Word. And our love for God, should, when He tests us, is going to be predicated upon this fact. Do you love me more than anything else? Do you love me more than the titillating, fanciful ideas of a false prophet? Do you love my Word more than you love anything else? Are you willing to follow my truth? Even when everybody else is going another direction, will you follow after me and remain true to me and not commit spiritual adultery by going after a false god? And I believe with all of my heart the Holy Spirit is at work today in the church, and God is allowing His love, or our love for Him, to be proven. To see, are we going to cleave, as what the scripture we read this morning, unto Him and His way, or are we going to listen to something else? We're living in the last days, my brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ is ready to come back. And demonic power is circling this world, and we have demonic power seated in our White House today, in the United States of America. And the scriptures are being fulfilled right before our very eyes, and God is proving His church right now. He's proven the church, just like He did here in Deuteronomy chapter 13. And He's asking the church, do you love me? Do you love me for me? I'm here to tell you with what I know about the cross now, and I believe everybody I'm looking at feels the same way. Jesus Christ is sufficient for me. I don't want anything but Jesus and Him crucified. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit has inserted that into my heart. I don't care about some false prophet's fanciful revelation. I don't care about the latest book coming out that all the church is going gaga over. I've got the Word of God. I've got the book. I've got Jesus Christ. And I don't need anything else. Praise God. And God has proven right now the true church. And He's proven it in this very fashion. That's taken right out of Deuteronomy 13. When I studied these scriptures and I was reading them, I could not believe the parallel I saw between what He was warning Israel against and what's going on in the church today. And I've got to hurry. I've got to hurry. He told Israel, He said, that false prophet, put him to death. Boy, don't you in some ways wish, Paul, that that was still in effect today? I know you do, Dennis. Really? I mean, I know I might sound harsh, but I wish with all of my heart these idiots that get up over TV and say, God says if you send me $1,000 that I'm going to pay all your bills are going to get paid off. Don't you wish we could just take them out after the show and let the stones fly? But God in His grace and mercy allows that to go on. And why does He allow it to go on? To prove our love, because He's given us the revelation. He's given it to us right here. Nobody's going to be able to plead ignorance or I didn't know or I didn't understand when they walk before the judgment seat of Christ. Because He's given it all to us right here. And He has made it expressly clear. Faith in Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross is the only way to make a human being right, is the only way to deliver a human being, is the only way to be made right with God. But as the scripture goes on, I want you to pay particular attention, because I've seen this happen so much in my ministry. Pay particular attention to the classes of people after the false prophet, after He says, deal with this false prophet, kill him. We can't throw stones at him today. Before I go on, I don't need to leave that hanging. We can't throw stones at him today, but what can we do? You can turn your TV set off and not listen to them. You can quit bringing them into your home. If they're preaching something that you know is against this word, if I ever preach something that's against this word, you better call me on the carpet for it and say, Pastor, that is wrong. And I'm not talking about every little jot and tittle or misquoting a scripture reference or something like that. I'm talking about if I preach something that pulls you away from faith in Christ and what he did at the cross, you better call me to task on it. It's your job as a believer to do so. It is our job as the church of Jesus Christ, who has been washed in his precious shed blood, to stand and identify that which is false and to warn people this isn't true. And we can't throw stones at them today, but we can sure quit sending them money. It is the fault of the church that there is so much false prophecy and so much chicanery going on in the body of Christ. You say, how can you say that, Pastor Greg? Because it's the church that sends them the money to carry this garbage on with. It doesn't come from the world. It comes from the church. And they send their money by the millions and by the thousands to support a false prophet. Somebody who's preaching something other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we can't kill them. But we can sure ought to quit sending them money and quit having them in our homes if we know they're preaching something that's against this word. Because God's proven our love. If we like their personality, if we like their style of delivery, that don't matter. Are they preaching the truth? That's all that matters. Are they preaching the truth? And if they're not, you better run from them. You better get it out of your life. But look at the class of people after dealing with the false prophets. He says, if a son, if a daughter, if a mother, if a brother, even if a friend who's like family to you, tries to get you to follow something else, you better not go after him. I was thinking about this verse as I was preparing this message about everybody who attends this church. And it brought gladness to my heart. You all are here because you love Jesus. That's why I count it such a privilege to minister to you. I mean that with all of my heart. I never take that lightly. You can ask Bonnie. I sweat blood and I pray and I'm fearful before God of what I deliver to you. Because I do love you and I have a tremendous respect for this body of believers. Because you're here because you love Jesus. You are. You're here because you love Jesus. Many of you are here, came here, and are attending this church, and you've lost family members because of it. You've lost friends because of it. You have people look askance at you because of it. And for that, as an observer, I commend you highly for your faith and your allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. But how many times have I seen it in my ministry, and I'm sure you've seen it too. If a son, if a daughter, if a mother, if a spouse, if a friend says, go after some other God, you better not do it. How many times have I seen it in my ministry in the modern day? Hundreds of times, I would say, without fear of exaggeration. Well, we're just going to go over there to that church because Billy and Susie, our son and daughter, said they're going over there. Now, I know they don't preach exactly what we preach, but I'm just so glad to have them in church. Oh, it's getting quiet. I think I'm hitting pay dirt here on this. You know what I'm talking about? It's the same thing we read here in Deuteronomy 13. Where's the love? Is your allegiance to that son or daughter, or is it to Jesus Christ? Is your allegiance to the truth of God's word, or is it to Jesus Christ, or is it to something other than the truth of God's word? Let me tell you something. Have little Billy and Susie just being in church won't help them any at all if that church is not preaching the gospel. You might as well send them down to the Lions Club or meet them at Bob Evans for breakfast on Sunday morning. You'll get a lot more spiritual good done for them if that church they're going to is into every kind of crazy scheme and idea in the world and they're not preaching the word of God. But how many times have I seen sons and daughters lead parents away or children? There's somebody I'm going to leave nameless who's in this church right now this morning that I have such respect for because one of their siblings made the decision that they weren't going to come to church anymore as they want to try other churches. And other parents I've seen, some of the first things they do, well, I'll go with you. Just let them lead around by the nose. But no, these parents stood up and said, we're not going nowhere. We know what we believe. We know it's the truth. And we hate to see you go the direction you're going, but you're not going to move us. That's allegiance to God. That's allegiance to Jesus Christ. That's not letting those kids pull you around and manipulate you by a ring on your nose. And how many times do you see that happen? And look, we read it from the Word of God for over 6,000 years ago. Over 4,000 years ago. Probably this book of Deuteronomy was written, and the warning came then. If a son or a daughter try to pull you away from the truth, don't go after him. If a friend tries to do it. How many times do we hear that in modern, well, I go to that church because that's where all my friends go. Dennis, you and I have talked about this before. Well, I go to that church because that's just where all of our friends and neighbors go. And that church couldn't find the book of Genesis with a team of theologians. They preach everything but the gospel, but that's where our friends go. God proves our love toward Him by testing us to see if we're going to follow Him, no matter what everybody else is doing. And how many times do we see it in the modern church that somebody rises up? Now let me ask you this. I'm probably going to get myself in trouble again here, but that's okay. Where is the purpose-driven life today? Where is it? If it was from God, and it was God's plan, as Rick Warren claimed, why is it still not being followed in every church in America today? Because, let me answer that rhetorical question. Number one, it wasn't from God. Number two, Rick Warren is a false prophet. That's why it's not being done today. And most of the body of the Christ went after that garbage of the purpose-driven life, holding it up to the Word of God. I'll never forget one buffoon that I used to pastor, and I love him, but he was a buffoon, made the statement in a Sunday school class in a former church we were in, held up the Bible and said, I don't need this anymore. I've got this book. And held up Rick Warren's purpose-driven life. That's following a false prophet. Because I tell you what, this plan's still in effect. And it ain't changed. Praise God. It's still the same way it was years before Rick Warren came out, and it's going to stand years after everybody forgets who Rick Warren's name is, because this is the almighty, unfailing, unadulterated Word of the living God that reveals the only way of salvation. Hallelujah! And it never goes out of style. I believe it was Levi's years ago that had that statement, said, quality never goes out of style. Well, let me put that in the vernacular for just a moment. Jesus Christ and Him crucified spiritually never will go out of style. Hallelujah. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Now I'm going to... Lord, help me to say this right. Sometime back on TBN, I was flicking across the dial. And I tuned in one of the old crusades of Billy Graham. And I have never heard such glorious preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. It was probably from, I don't know, maybe the 40s or 50s. This is when his crusades were first starting to grow large. And I believe he was in Madison Square Garden preaching this particular message. And it was right down the line, right out of Romans chapter 6 and 7, the preaching of the cross. As he demanded that people put their faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. I receive a newsletter. It's a great one. It's called the Berean Call. Probably not a lot of people know about it. The editors of this magazine are T.A. McMahon and Brother Dave Hunt, who I believe to be very godly and Christ-like men who love the truth of God's Word. T.A. McMahon was writing of how, in this month's newsletter, of how Billy Graham was instrumental in leading him to the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was delivered from Catholicism, Roman Catholicism, He said, it was under the preaching of Billy Graham that I came to see, you know, the light of the gospel. He said, but within about 5 or 6 years after I was saved, Billy Graham founded the magazine Christianity Today. And he said, all of a sudden I noticed where Brother Graham was inviting Catholic writers to write in his magazine. And he said, I couldn't understand that. Having been delivered out of that lie of Roman Catholicism, why a man who preached the gospel so powerfully and forcefully was now allowing Catholics to write in his magazine. And sadly, over the years, and some of you may take me to task for this, and I'll present you with a mountain of evidence later if you feel you need it. And I'm not trying to denigrate anybody. I'm just merely stating a fact. Over the years, Billy Graham finally drifted totally away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that's probably a shocker to you. But he began to make statements like there are many ways to God. I want you to think of this. He was used powerfully in the 40s and 50s by God. There's no question of that. But I don't know what made him drift, but he did. What's the point you're trying to make, Pastor? I'm telling you, and I hope you'll believe me on this, because many of you know my love and respect for the man and his ministry. If Jimmy Swaggart tomorrow would preach something like that, I would tune him out immediately. If I preach something like that, you better get away from me immediately. I don't care how much you love me or how mightily you might have feel God has used me in the past. The proof of love for God is that do you love Him above all else? Above all else and above anybody else. I want you, and this magazine that was founded by Billy Graham, and he owned the rights to it, for I believe he still does, for many, many years, has denigrated to the point I'm about to read to you right now. And this emanated from somebody who was used powerfully by God at one time. I'm here to tell you, God's proven love in these last days. Who really loves Him for Him? This is from an article written in Christianity Today. This gentleman is writing about serving God. Listen to this. I like a tranquil, even-keeled, self-controlled God. Did you catch that? I like a God who doesn't fly off the handle at the least provocation. A God who lives one step above the fray. A God who has that British stuff upper lip even when disaster is looming. When I read my Bible, though I keep running into a different God, and I'm not pleased. Did you hear that? That was taken from an article in Christianity Today. Somebody better fall on their face and repent of that blasphemy. Church, we are living in the last days. We really are. That's not just a phrase. That's not just a euphemism. We're in the last of the last days now. And this God who loves you and I so much is going to prove our love for Him. And you can't love Him unless you understand what He's done for you. If you don't understand the fact that as human beings we're born into this world as sin-bound, sin-benighted, and hell-bound individuals, and that through His divine intervention in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, that's the only way we can be made right or be delivered from sin's power. You know, reverting back as I start to close now on those alcoholics I saw. They wanted free so bad. They did. You could see it on them. Some of their bodies shaking. And they wanted free from that. Nobody wants to really live like that. And with all that Alcoholics Anonymous and psychology can provide them, The root problem is the desire for that alcohol, that craving for it. See, man's born with a craving for sin. It's there. I've said it many times before. You don't have to teach your kids to lie. You don't have to set them down and go, okay, guys, now here's how you lie. Anybody ever had to teach their kids that? Anybody ever had to teach them anything along that line? No. They just start to do it, won't they? It's the sin nature. And those poor alcoholics craving that drink, craving the very thing that is destroying them. And with all that Alcoholics Anonymous and the psychologists can muster, they can't take away that craving. They can't take away that craving. That's why the best they can offer them is you come to our meetings once a week, stand up every week, and say, I'm an alcoholic. Think of that. That's the best they can offer them. It's the very best that mankind can provide. And they have them stand up every week and say, I'm an alcoholic, to remind them the craving for it's still there. Maybe I've been off of it for 20 years, 30 years. But in my soul and spirit, my body is still craving a drink. That doesn't sound like any kind of freedom to me. That doesn't sound like any kind of deliverance to me. To that child molester, who maybe in every other area of his life is an upstanding citizen, be it something inside of him craves that debauchery that would destroy a little child. And he can't make it go away. The drug addict whose veins are screaming for another fix, knowing that it's destroying his very life, and he can't make the craving go away for it. That's because of the sin nature dominating that individual's life. That's what it is. It's the sin nature dominating that individual. I want to tell you something. There's one of two things sitting on the throne of your life today. It's either your sin nature or it's Jesus Christ. You're under the control of one of the two. And if you're under the control of the sin nature, you live a life of craving. You live a life of longing. You live a life of insatiability, never knowing any real peace or comfort in your soul and spirit at all. And try as mankind may to make that go away through drinking more, it won't go away. Have you seen this latest commercial out about this stuff, Ambien or something like that? Some kind of antidepressant. The commercial starts this way. Are you now on an antidepressant and it's not working? Perhaps you can take now this new Abilify. It's another antidepressant. Think of that. Think of the insanity of that. That would come across the airwaves as a commercial. That's tantamount to telling the alcoholic, oh, Jack Daniels isn't working for you? Here, take some vodka with the Jack Daniels. That'll help. I know it's laughable. But you're going to live a life of misery, of chaos, and your soul and spirit is going to be miserable. And you're going to have all these cravings for things that destroy you, that will destroy you, until you allow Jesus Christ to sit on the throne of your heart. And then you'll find life. And then you'll fall in love with Him because you'll realize God sent Him after me. God loved me. And I'm going to place my allegiance in Him. I'm going to place my trust in Him. I'm going to follow after Him no matter what fathers, sons, mothers, friends, daughters tell me. I'm going to follow Jesus. And I'm going to see what Jesus has to think about everything I'm doing with my life. You'll find life then. You'll find life then because only Jesus is the giver of life. Only Jesus Christ can give life to the walking dead that we are. And I'm here to tell you this morning, His power is not diminished. Jesus Christ is more powerful than alcohol. He's more powerful than pornography. He's more powerful than drugs. He's more powerful than any sinful craving that humanity has. And Jesus Christ alone can and will set you free because He loves you. He loves you. He wants to see the stop of the carnage. He doesn't want to rob your fun. He doesn't want to steal life from you. He wants to deliver you and set you free. And He is the only one who can do it. Will you let Him this morning? Will you let Him this morning? I want you to think of something as musicians come. He loves you, and He went to that cross for you and I. For when we were at our worst point in sin, not when we were at our best. Because only He can make us at our best. The day we found Jesus, the day He came after us, literally as an individual, by the power of His Holy Spirit, and He spoke to our hearts. Maybe we heard a gospel message. You had to at some point in time. That's the only way it can happen. And the Holy Spirit came to you and He began to deal with you, saying what that preacher, what that friend told you is true. Jesus is your only hope. Jesus is your only way out. And the Holy Spirit came and dealt with us. And He said what they told you was the truth. You are a sinner. You can't help yourself. You can't make these cravings go away that are destroying your life. But if you'll give it over to Jesus, He'll send the power of His Spirit. He'll help you out. That's the message the Holy Spirit confirms to the sinner. And those of us that know Jesus said, okay, Lord, I'll admit it. I can't save myself. I can't help myself. I've got to throw myself on Your grace and on Your mercy. And the very second we did that, He said, that's why I came for you. It was this point in your life when you would be at your worst. He understands the fact that we can't change ourselves. He doesn't expect us. Hear this. The Holy Spirit wants this said. God does not expect you to change your life because you can't do it. Only He can. Now, He will come in and make changes if you give your life to Jesus. Absolutely. Things will change. Not all at once. You're not going to be perfect. God's still working on all of us. Every last one of us, the Holy Spirit's still working on to shape us into the image of Christ. But only God can change you. He knows that. He understands that. That's why He doesn't require you to make the change through human power, because He knows you can't do it anyway. But He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to die on a cross. Why? Because God cannot take up habitation in anything that has sin in it. But by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the very instant a person places their faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, God calls them 100% clean based on their faith in the shed blood of Jesus. And now the Holy Spirit of God, which was there when the worlds were framed, enters into that person. Glory to God. Enters into that person. And He, the Holy Spirit, begins to make those changes that you and I can never make. I know what I'm talking about. I shared with you, I believe, a few weeks back when, after I was saved, I couldn't figure out why no longer I wanted to drink. Why no longer I didn't want to go to the clubs anymore. And it took a Christian friend who I just met to tell me, when I was telling him, I prayed this prayer with Ben Kinchlow in the 700 Club and about a month back. I hadn't even been back to church yet. And I said, but since then, I don't want to drink. I don't want to go to clubs anymore. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. I don't know what's wrong with me. He looked at me and said, Greg, you've been born again. I'm telling you this gospel is real. I'm telling you the power of God is real. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is not some historical figure. He is who He said He was. He is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And He can change our lives. And only He can do it. Our part of it, we're so prideful as humans. We want to believe so badly. It'll get better. I can do this. I can get that job. I can get in this relationship. And if I can just get this or just get that, it's going to get better. No, it isn't. Sin is the problem. And until sin's dealt with, it's never going to get any better. I don't care if you're as rich as Bill Gates. When you lay your head on your pillow at night, you'll have no peace in your soul if you don't know Jesus. Would you bow your heads? Would everyone please stand? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, I sense your Holy Spirit has done His mighty work. I'm not going to embarrass anyone, I promise you. I'm not going to call you down front or anything like that. I believe in making a profession of Jesus Christ publicly to give your life to Him, but sometimes we've churched salvation. That place will take place in that person's heart if Jesus saves them, and they'll want to tell somebody about it. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you, where are you with God? Are you right with God this morning? Or are you bound by sin? Everybody's in one of those two states. You're either right with God, or you're bound in sin's clutches. And don't think it's the alcohol, the drugs, the sexual cravings. No. Those are symptoms. Man's problem and your problem this morning is, my dear friend, is that you're a sinner. And God knows that. But He'll deliver you from that sin if you'll call upon Him today. If you'll place your faith and trust today in Jesus Christ as your Savior and trust in what He did sacrificially for all of us on the cross, God will manifest His salvation to you. And He'll make changes that you could never make, that you'll never make. It's never going to get any better. You're believing a lie. And I sense with all of my heart, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but this is the Word of God. Please, please, I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to some today. You believe the lie. If I can just get this, you've made your plans and goals. And you're thinking, if I can just get this, it'll be all right. It'll get better. No, it won't. You may even get what you think you need, and you'll only get it to find it's still not enough. Things still aren't any better in my soul and in my spirit and in my life. It's because of sin. And it's destroying you this morning. And God, in His love, is reaching out to you as an individual right now. And He's saying to you, I know the Holy Spirit's speaking to some hearts today. And He's saying to you, what that preacher told you is the truth. And He's not here to embarrass you or to humiliate you or denigrate you in any way. That's not God. He won't do that. But He does demand repentance. He does demand that you come before Him and admit, as it'll break the human pride, and admit, Lord, I can't change my life. I've tried, and things aren't changing. If you'll just come to Him and admit, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need You, Jesus. I promise you, on the authority of God's Word, you'll know there'll be a difference in your life if you turn it over to Jesus. He will make changes. Oh, it's beautiful. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I remember when I came to Him as an alcoholic and a drug addict and somebody who wanted to take their own life. I remember it well. I lay there in front of the TV set, weeping like a baby, said, Lord, I've made a mess of my life. And if You are who You say You are, I give it to You. If You are the God, You are the Jesus that I heard about since I was a young boy. I really want to know if You're real. If You are, here I am. I give my life to You. And I'm here to tell you, I didn't pray some pretty prayer or anything like that. But he came in and he proved himself real. And he'll do that for you this morning. Jesus is what you need on the throne of your heart rather than that sin nature that's going to destroy you. I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands today, but with heads bowed and eyes closed, only you can make this decision in your heart. Are you willing this morning, as I know the Holy Spirit's calling to you, to spiritually walk before Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, and tell Him, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I can't change my life, and I've made a mess of it. And He won't, let me tell you, God's not afraid. Jesus isn't afraid of your challenge. He understands human stupidity. If you pray a stupid prayer, even like I did, and say, Lord Jesus, if you are who you say you are, then come in and change me. Do in my heart and life what that preacher said you could do. I give it to you. And I admit I'm a sinner. Do that. Right where you stand this morning. If you're tired of sin causing wreckage and carnage and heartache and distress in your life. If you're tired of all the sinful cravings for things that never bring you any long-lasting pleasure, yeah, you can go out and get drunk, and for about an hour or so, or until you sober up, things may get better. But when you sober up, nothing has changed. Same way with the drugs that you may be craving. Nothing's changed. When you come down off the high, you need Jesus. And Jesus will set you free. In your heart right now, if you need to, make that decision. Call upon Jesus. He won't refuse you. He loves you. He knows everything you've done. He knows every wrong. He knows every sin. You'll not fool Him with anything. You can fool a lot of humans, but you won't fool Him. And He's not going to be shocked by your sin. But hear clearly this, He does demand you repent of it. And repentance is merely it's a word that means to agree with. You just come to Him and you agree with Him. Lord, you're right, I'm a sinner, I can't change my life. But I give it to you. Will you help me? It's that simple. In your heart, make that decision today. I'm placing trust in Jesus Christ and what He did for me on the cross. And if you do that, your life will change. Your life will change. You'll know that something's different about you. People will begin to realize something's different about you. I pray some of you have made that decision this morning. For everyone else, God's proven the love of His church in this hour before the rapture, before Jesus comes. And sadly, there's not many, I believe, that's passing the test when you look at the whole of the body of Christ. How many are going after things other than Jesus Christ, things that are patently against His Word? Because maybe somebody who's popular, or maybe somebody who was used by God powerfully at one time, is saying they got a new revelation or they're doing a new thing. My brothers and sisters, before we dismiss this service today, I know this has been kind of a sobering, hard-hitting message, but we need it. We need it. Oh God, we need it. Let the Holy Spirit work in your heart to prove your love for Jesus Christ. And that you're not going to let what a friend tells you, what a family member tells you, if you know it's not in line with the Word of God, and you know it's something or some doctrine even that will lead you away from faith in Jesus Christ, that you're going to have to tell them, I'm sorry, I can't go that way. My allegiance is to Jesus Christ. I want you to think about the text we read this morning. God reminded Israel when he was given this to them on how he would prove their love for him. He said, remember, I'm the Lord your God that brought you up out of Egypt. That's a type of salvation in the New Testament. God delivering Israel out of Egyptian bondage was a representation or a picture, a object lesson, if you will, of the salvation of the believer in the New Testament. And that God, with a mighty hand, reached down through Jesus Christ and allowed him to die on the cross. And through faith in what he did on the cross, God pulls us out of sin and bondage. Praise God. Praise God. He said it himself, believers. Remember, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of Egypt. Believers, we need to always remember some TV preacher didn't deliver us. Rick Warren did not deliver us. A church or a denomination or a preacher did not deliver us. Jesus Christ delivered us. Praise God. Let us never forget that. Let the Holy Spirit, we need this kind of work done in our hearts and lives with the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the deceptions that are so prevalent. And for him to continually remind us, it's Jesus who delivered me. And anything that's against Jesus or pulling me away from Jesus, I don't want any part of it. That's how we show our love for God and our gratitude to Jesus for what he did for us on the cross. Is that we remain true to him. And we remain faithful to him. In spite of whoever may be presenting something different. We turn to Jesus and we turn away from that which is not leading us to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that your people have received some truth from what I've tried to bring today. And Lord, I'm not saying this to sound sappy. I apologize to you. I don't feel I delivered it very well. But I know what your Holy Spirit can do. And I just ask that he will do that work in our hearts that continually reminds us it's Jesus. Jesus delivered us. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our King. And anyone or anything that would attempt to turn us away from him, we must turn away from that person, that doctrine, that organization, whatever it may be. That leisure activity even, that pulls us away from Jesus. Do that kind of work in us, Lord, as you prepare us for the soon rapture, for your soon appearing. And Lord, as always, is my prayer, keep our faith anchored in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Before we're dismissed today, I just feel a movement of the Holy Spirit to do this. Shelby, would you come down here, please? I want to pray for you this morning. I've been so burdened for this young lady over the past few days. I'm going to have to ask some of you ladies, Ravonna, and some of y'all come gather around her. Shelby, God's really got his hand on your life, as he does all of our teens. But I believe right now, Satan's trying to work in your life to destroy what God's got planned for you. God's not going to let him do it, though. I want you to know that. I believe the Holy Spirit's directing me to tell you this today. And we're going to believe for a complete healing of the cilia. I know it can be controlled, and we praise God that you've got the news it can be. But I believe the Lord's had me do this morning because he wants to heal you completely of it. Believe him for that today as we pray for you, okay? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, Lord, I believe you had me do this. This is not my imagination, Lord, or I'm not trying to bring glory on myself. I want it all to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Healed shall be completely of the cilia, Lord. As I believe you've stopped this service and called her out to have it done. And we're believing you that the doctors are going to look at her results from tests and be amazed at how her body has cleared. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus, you're the healer. We give you glory, Son of God. And we'll rejoice in you, Jesus, when we get the news the cilia has been healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. Judy, would you come here and let us pray for you in just a moment? Thank you, Lord. 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 Would y'all just gently lay hands on her and let's pray for her today. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you to lay your hand upon Judy and I ask you to speed the healing, Lord, that she needs done. Touch her body, I pray, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you'll give her a peace that passes all understanding and give her a security in her soul that you love her, Lord Jesus, because of her faith. And she doesn't have to earn it. She doesn't have to perform to get it. You love her and heal her body of this dental problem. Speed the healing. In Jesus' name we pray, and I believe you're going to do it, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Church, praise Him right now. I just sense God's power moving. If you need a healing in your body in any capacity right now, you don't need me to call you out. Jesus Christ loves you. And if you need a healing, whether it be a familial situation, a financial situation, or a physical situation, or emotional, whatever it is, I believe His healing virtue is in this sanctuary today to heal. And just ask Him for it in the name of Jesus. Father, for everyone who needs a healing right now, let's pray for Julie here. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, touch this dear sister, Lord. Heal her throughout every way she would need healed, Lord, and minister your grace and your power to her, Lord. We love Julie, Lord. She's a special child of God. Touch her, Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Anyone else you need a healing, lift your hands right now. Let's pray and believe God for it in any way. I believe His healing power is here. I believe He's moving in a mighty way. Heavenly Father, to everyone who would have their hand up right now in the name of Jesus, send your healing, Lord Jesus, into that situation, whatever it is. And Lord, deliver us from thinking we need a burning bush and a lot of shouting and carrying on. If you move that way, that's fine. But today, Lord, let no one believe, because this is being done in a more subdued manner, that your power is not in it. In the name of Jesus today, minister unto everyone who would have their hand up and needs a divine healing in some area of their life. We believe it and we receive it now through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Just worship Him a moment, saints. Just adore Him. Let's love Him. I really believe the Holy Spirit has and is doing a work in our hearts today to open our eyes to some issues that we need to be revealed to us. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for your word. Let us not drift from allegiance exclusively to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're all humans. Any of us can fall away. Let us not become prideful in thinking, because we do know the message of the cross, that, Lord, we're not above falling away or falling into falsehood. Except you keep us. Except you give us the discerning ear and the wisdom, Lord Jesus, we're all capable of falling away. And we asked you for that wisdom. We asked you for that discernment. And we asked you for the Holy Spirit to anchor us in Jesus. Amen. And amen. Praise God. It's been so good to be in God's house with you today. I want to thank so much Chris and Michelle on Wednesday night. If those of you, I don't know if anybody else here drives from Columbus or not, but if you do in the evenings, you're going to have to find an alternate route home, or else you're going to sit in your car for about 2 hours. They've got construction going on, and traffic was backed up all the way from the Plain City exit at Route 42 past the Hilliard exit at New Rome Road. And they've got construction going on there, and I was hung up in that and had to call them and tell them, guys, I'm not going to make it. And I so appreciate Chris stepping in, and I hear you had a wonderful service, and Michelle, I know she had some songs ready, and I so appreciate them, but I just wanted to thank you guys. You're wonderful. I appreciate you so much. And I found an alternate route now, because I'm going to have to start going into office on Wednesdays due to a change in work areas. They needed some help over in another area and asked me if I'd go, and I told them yeah. But I'm teleworking now on Thursday and Friday, and I'll be having to go into office on Wednesday. But I found an alternate route. I'm going to come down 71 to 41. If anybody knows a better route, quicker route coming out of Columbus, please see me. But according to my navigation on my little cell phone, that said it'd be the fastest way. But it's not always right. So if you know a better way, let me know. But anyway, I wanted to thank both of you guys. I appreciate you so much. Dennis, would you come dismiss us in prayer this morning? And we'll see you. We'll see you on Wednesday night. I want to be here. We'll pick up on our study of the rapture.